This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of WrestleNomics Radio. I'm Brandon Thurston, broadcasting on demand from Buffalo, New York, and live from Buffalo, New York, on YouTube this morning, where today is Sunday, it's October the 10th, 2021. It is 9:16 a.m. Eastern Time. Is it Eastern Standard Time? Eastern Daylight Time? I'm not sure. I think we're about to fall back, though. But today on the program, we will discuss SmackDown and Rampage going head-to-head for at least 30 minutes next week, Friday, this coming week, as SmackDown will be supersized on Fox Sports 1 going against from 10 to 10:30. AEW Rampage on TNT, the first time that a main roster WWE program will go head-to-head on national TV with an AEW program. Additionally, MLW had its special Fightland on Vice. More on MLW's reported almost deal with Fox's streaming service, Tubi. More on how WWE and AEW are doing at the UBS Arena in Long Island, those ticket sales for those events coming up later this year. And Variety had an article on WWE and AEW. We will talk about that, but first.
And, yeah, welcome everybody. I am Chris Gello, here for WrestleNomics Radio. Of course, joined alongside Brandon Thurston. It has been a very busy week in the business of professional wrestling. And it looks like it's only going to get busier.
Why do you say that?
Well, as you said in our little intro, we have the Friday night half-hour war that will be happening.
The 30-minute war.
The 30-minute war. There probably was like some war in the 1600s that was probably 30 minutes. The 30-minute war.
Yes. I want to congratulate you, Chris Gallo, for hitting your cue. Basically, last week.
I finally did it.
But this week was pretty good. This week was pretty much right on the beat. Excellent.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning here.
Yes.
I got my coffee. We have a show today, an actual wrestling show, so it's
yeah,
a very
I have to wrestle.
Day for us.
I have to wrestle today.
Yes.
People may be watching me live. I'm going to be doing wrestling things, bumping probably, and wrestling and grappling. Later today, at Buffalo Riverworks, I understand we're in the main section of the venue today. You have already been there. You were there last night helping set up. Is that correct?
Yep, in this similar area where they've had wrestling for the Every Time I Die shows, Ring of Honor, NXT, in that main area there. So,
main event. This is Empire State Wrestling. Daniel Garcia versus Davey Richards. Plug, you can watch it live on IWTV. If you can't be there live in attendance, that is live, not on demand. I mean, I think it'll be on demand, right? But you can watch it, stream it live, on independentwrestling.tv. I'm wrestling Spencer, Slade. What else is on the show?
Also on the show, we actually have a couple big tag team matchups. We have the main event, tag team out of the Pittsburgh area. They've been all around the Northeast. They're going to be going against the High Seas, Captain Nick Ando and Cloudy. We also have To Infinity and Beyond.
Gull's already doing a promo. He's just running down the card here.
Cheech and Colin Delaney, they're going to be going against MSP, Main Street Posse, which is one of the indie darling tag teams of at least the Northeast area. We also have Vince Valor versus Mike Skyros in a Buffalo Tables match. So, yes, folks, not your traditional wrestling table.
A Buffalo Tables match?
But the white plastic tables that you see all over the internet when Bills fans jump in.
Because, yes. And are people going to, so this is before the Bills game? Because
yes.
We're not going to run a show head to head with the Bills. I mean, WWE and AEW is one thing, but ESW and the Buffalo Bills, absolutely not. Bills game is on in the evening. It's the 8 o'clock Sunday night game, correct? Chiefs Bills?
Yes. So the show's going to end with plenty of time for you to, you know, either go home and get ready for the game, go to your plans, or stay at Buffalo Riverworks and enjoy the game. So, it gives you a pumped up Sunday show.
Are people going to stay at Riverworks? And because it's like a whole bar and restaurant thing, are people going to stay at Riverworks and watch the game there? Is that like available? Is that the intent?
Absolutely. That is the intent. There's a lot of TVs there for that. And I've seen some pictures from their Bills games before, and it gets pretty packed and looks pretty cool.
Okay. Outstanding. I've got to get ready after we're done here. Yeah. And make sure I have everything.
So that's at 3 p.m. For you non-local people, independent wrestling TV, check it out. I'll be your ring announcer for the evening, for the afternoon.
Yes. So, what's been happening in the world of independent wrestling? Not independent wrestling, wrestling business.
We'll get right into it. We already kind of alluded to it, Brandon, but the announcement from WWE that next week they're going to have a simulcast for SmackDown.
Simulcast?
I mean... The wording I got was that it looks like it's 8 to 10:30 on FS1 and then 8 to 10 on Fox. Or do you think it's just 10 to 10:30 on FS1?
So there's going to be MLB playoffs on Fox. This is why it's on. This is why it's on FS1.
Oh, so it's just on FS1. Okay,
correct.
So that's my fault. I thought it would be a simulcast. Yeah.
No. So this happens every year since SmackDown has been on Fox. I expect it's going to happen every year. In fact, so it'll be preempted this week, and then in a couple weeks from now, it'll also be preempted. Instead of being on Fox, it will be on FS1. So it's just now occurring to me. I hadn't even thought about this. That this will not. I wonder if they will do a. We'll really find out how deeply they want to turn the knife here. If they do this again when SmackDown is on FS1 in a couple weeks, because there's. I think ALDS game on Fox this Friday night. And then there'll be a World Series game in a couple of weeks on Fox on a Friday night. Yes, SmackDown will be on FS1. They've announced that SmackDown will be supersized. Not sure if there's a McDonald's tie in here, but SmackDown will be supersized and we'll go an extra 30 minutes, meaning it will end at 10:30, not 10, meaning it will run head-to-head with the first half of AEW Dynamite on TNT. Tony Khan tweeting. What did he say?
Tony Khan, this was his comments. I saw you're doing a half an hour head-to-head with us. I can't wait to finally beat your main show head-to-head. It's been a long time coming. See you next Friday for AEW Rampage on AEW on TNT.
Yes. I brought this up to someone in AEW. They announced this apparently during SmackDown. I'm not sure, but it was obviously on social media by 9:52 p.m. Eastern time on Friday night. This video was that we're showing the screenshot of from the tweet. I brought this up to somebody at AEW, had no idea. And then this tweet came out shortly after it. Brought this up to somebody at WWE. They had no idea. So I don't know how recently this decision was made, but this is happening. Why is it happening? Because when SmackDown has been on FS1 in the past, what have the ratings been like? Well, the ratings are cut in half, even less than half. So we got three occasions so far in history of SmackDown that is usually on Fox be on FS1, and what's it done in the past? 888,000 viewers, 885,000 viewers, just barely over 1 million viewers. Most recently, there was a Pac-12. College football championship game that it was preempted for in December of last year. So, yes, I guess this is the first time that SmackDown is going to be preempted for two baseball games rather than just one. But anyway, it was preempted twice last year, going to be preempted twice this year. But I think more importantly, yes, we need to look at the demo. What was the demo rating? Can you see this? Can you read to me, Chris Gullo? What are these three demo ratings that SmackDown has done on FS1?
For the 18 to 49, 0.27, 0.25, and 0.30.
Okay. And read to me, let's say, what the last three demo ratings have been for Rampage.
0.28, 0.29, and 0.25.
Those are pretty similar numbers, aren't they?
Very similar, yeah.
So, it would seem to be that SmackDown shall not be finishing below Rampage on the Showbiz Daily Top 150. If we pull up the where has Rampage been ranking? We'll talk about what we learned about Rampage and SmackDown most recently in terms of their ratings. But if we look at this, look at the WrestleNomics spreadsheet, which you can get access to at patreon.com/WrestleNomics, the ranking for Rampage, let's see, last week was number 3. The week before that, they were number 1, number 2. So I think it's a real question about what's going to be ranking number 1, number 2 on the day among cable originals or among cable programming generally. There's a real chance, if W doesn't do this, that Rampage could finish above SmackDown on the cable ranking. Yes.
So, also, too, and I don't know if WWE even thought about this and all that, and I know this is just my theory of live to taped, but this is a live Rampage because they're doing the tapings in Miami, Florida with Dynamite the next day as well.
Saturday night.
I think it's going to be live. Yeah, Saturday night. So, like, this, I mean, I would have done this against one of their tape versions where the results are out on the internet and all that. I mean, in AEW, you're in a great position to go, okay, that first
half
Michael
hour. Cole out there reading off the spoilers. Yeah, we've got Daniel Garcia versus CM Punk. That'll put some butts in seats.
But what I'm saying is like, Tony Khan's gonna probably start Rampage pretty hot. We don't know what's going to start off yet, but I'm sure it's going to be what he would think would be the highest rated segment on that show anyways.
Mm-hmm. I want to pull up what exactly the preemption schedule is because we have, because of hockey starting on TNT, there's going to be a couple preemptions of Dynamite to Saturday. And that is demonstrated on this slide here, which we will show to you now. And I think everybody can see that, right? So this is the schedule, right? So Friday, that's this coming week. SmackDown is preempted for an ALCS game, not an ALDS game. And then it will be preempted again on October 29th to FS1. And then here we have the Miami taping on Saturday the 16th, which is, if I look at a calendar, that is this next Saturday. So they're gonna do Dynamite this coming Wednesday, correct? Check on that.
They're gonna do
Dynamite this coming Wednesday, and then on that's the 13th, and then on the 16th. So there's gonna be a Dynamite, a day off on Thursday, a Rampage, and then another Dynamite. I believe so. And then the following week will also be a Saturday Dynamite, probably with no Wednesday Dynamite. Is there a Dynamite this week?
So there is no October 13th Dynamite. It's airing on October 16th. So this is the debut of the NHL on TNT.
Okay, so there is no Dynamite on Wednesday this week. That is important to know. Okay. So that's the schedule. We've got no Wednesday Dynamite, and the next two Dynamites are going to be on Saturday. So more on that in a moment. There's that. So that's what I've also heard. If we go back here, that I haven't seen this for myself, but multiple people say they saw this advertised on Fox during the college football game that was on Fox last night, that Fox was advertising that SmackDown will be on FS1 next week. But not only that, not only will it be on FS1, not only will it be an extra half hour, but those last 30 minutes, commercial free.
Why only the last 30 minutes, WWE?
Because it's a bonus, supersize. They're rewarding their fans who just can't get enough of their compelling content. That's what people have been knocking down the doors for. They've been saying, WWE, I love the content you put out. I love the 2-hour SmackDown, the 3-hour Raw, the epic pay-per-views that you do sometimes. But it's great. It's a lot. I want a little bit more, though. I think that's what this is all about. About putting more smiles on more faces at the end of the day. So, in addition to that, this is part two of this act, of this this drama. There were some extra fast ratings that came out yesterday called Fast Nationals. So let's have a review here real quick about the kinds of ratings that you hear talked about. Normally, the kinds of ratings that we talk about and that we're going to talk about for the most part in the Gullo Report, the kinds of ratings that I'm reporting, the kinds of ratings that Showbiz Daily is putting out, those are what we call final ratings. Those are the final answer to the ratings. I mean, rarely there are adjustments or corrections made. But those are the final ratings. This is Nielsen aggregating all the data that happened. Even if, you know, you got a program that was in, it had an East Coast telecast and a West Coast telecast, it aggregates that together. On the occasions that SmackDown is preempted in select markets and replayed later, Nielsen's aggregating all that together. These are the final answer, essentially, from Nielsen. Again, this is stuff that you see me reporting. This is the stuff that you see Shubba's Daily reporting. But then there are what we'll call preliminary ratings. And there's two different kinds. What I deal with most often are the fast affiliates, because we get that for SmackDown. Fast affiliates, that happens every single week. It's always there the next morning around 10 or 11. That stuff comes out. The fast affiliates are only for broadcast TV, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, and CW, things that you can pick up over the air with an antenna. These end up on Shubba's. They used to end up on Shubba's Daily, but since Shubba's Daily came back to life, they have given up on fast affiliates. But this fast affiliate information still comes out, on Shubba's, not Shubba's Daily, on Spoiler TV and on TV Series Finale. Those are the two sites that I'm aware of that report this stuff regularly. So we get on Saturday morning, I find the fast affiliate on Spoiler TV or TV Series Finale, and we get an idea of what the rating is going to be. I do a calculation because it's usually like 5 to 6% off of the final, in SmackDown's case, for whatever reason. The fast affiliates are really just telling you what the viewership was in that window. So if SmackDown was preempted in one or two markets or several markets, as we saw when there was NFL preseason on Friday nights in a lot of markets instead of SmackDown, we saw huge ratings leading to much controversy and arguments on Twitter about people downplaying, Dave Meltzer and I supposedly downplaying the rating for SmackDown when, you know, we were advising caution that this was just giving you a measurement of what the window from 8 to 10 was on Fox. Anyway, that's a fast affiliate. That's normal. That happens every day for all the broadcast programming that happens. Fast nationals, though, is something quite different. We don't get fast affiliates for cable because they're not on affiliates, right? They're on cable systems that are broadcast nationwide. But if you're a Nielsen customer, you can make a special request to Nielsen to give you the rating for such and such program because you want it fast and you don't want to wait for the afternoon ratings. This is especially convenient, I guess, when you've got a Friday night program or a Saturday night program or a Sunday night program, because those ratings don't come out the very next day. The Friday rating comes out on Monday, and the weekend ratings, I think, come out on Tuesday. So if you want the rating fast, and like I said, I imagine this happens for the Super Bowl every year because the Super Bowl is a really, really big deal, right? But anyway, what has happened in the last couple of weeks is Fast National data has reached certain reporters who have reported it. We won't speculate here on where that Fast National data might be originating from, but basically some Nielsen customer or customers have ordered the Fast National data for AEW Rampage, perhaps SmackDown as well. Certainly somebody did for SmackDown Friday night, this past Friday, because we got that data too, which we'll show you in a moment. So that's happened. This is not cheap. This costs like a couple $1,000s per program, I believe, when you make this request to Nielsen. So it's not something that just anybody with a dollar in their pocket can do. And Nielsen subscriptions are very expensive and only really businesses afford them. So yesterday, Raj Geary from Wrestling Inc. was the first to report he's got the Fast Nationals for SmackDown coming in at just over 2 million, 2.03 million, let's say, which would I believe be the lowest since late July. And he's got as my mouse has failed to work here, and he's got an 18 to 49 as well of 596,000. So what would that be in terms of a demo rating? If we divide that by 1305, we get a 0.46 demo rating. That would be for SmackDown. So that's probably the lowest in several weeks without looking it up. He's got an 18-34 number there too. Mentioning that SmackDown was number one, probably. I'm guessing that means overall on TV. Again, we'll find out what the final ratings are on Monday. Final ratings, even despite Columbus Day / National Indigenous Peoples Day, the ratings will come out on Monday. There's no holiday delay this time for this holiday. So there's SmackDown, and then Raj reports AEW Rampage numbers as well. 466,000. Why don't you tell us what these numbers are, Golo, for Rampage?
Yeah, sure. 466,000. That's down 25% from last week. In 18-49, they did 196,000, which was he has down 41%. So if you calculate that here, I know you have the WrestleNomics calculator handy.
Oh, you're gonna calculate? I want to see you do this math. Tell me.
All right, hold on 1 second. All right, so divided by.
What are you dividing it by?
Well, that is right. That probably's not accurate anyway. So yeah, okay. Why don't you do the calculator, the math?
So we want to know what the demo rating is for 18-49. So what we do is we take the audience, which is 196,000. We're not going to type the zeros in here, and we're going to divide it by 1305. And what we get is a 0.15 demo rating. 0.15 demo rating. Total audience, again, 466,000. Now, this information came out last week, reported first by Sean Rossap. I think Sean Rossap had the information as well this week, but Raj had it first. So 0.15 demo, 466,000 total. How does that compare to recent weeks of Rampage? This would be the lowest by far. I bring up what happened last week because, the overnights, I'm sorry, not, I hesitate to use this word overnights because overnights is used to describe many things. These fast nationals were like 4% and 5% lower than the final. So maybe this will be up somewhat, but even if it's up by 4% or 5% or even a little bit more than that, this is going to be the lowest Rampage, of the 9 episodes of Rampage that I've aired so far. So not a good rating for Rampage. Yes, there were baseball games on. There was, the Red Sox and the Rays were on in the primetime slot. And then there was, I believe the Dodgers and the Giants in the West Coast slot. Maybe that had an effect. I mean, it didn't affect SmackDown that badly. SmackDown looks to be having one of its lowest numbers in several weeks, but not impacted in the way that Rampage was. Or maybe just people didn't have as much interest in watching Rampage for whatever reason this week. But anyway, so there's that. Okay rating for SmackDown. Obviously not as good as usual. Took a hit from the baseball game, I suppose. Rampage, though, that's pretty low. In fact, I'm interested to look up, if I can look it up quickly, how does that compare to the Friday Dynamites in the preemptions, over the spring? Because I do have a spreadsheet that will tell me that as I, we're really testing the stream here again. I'm bringing up a pretty heavy spreadsheet.
I know as far as the P2 plus we talked about it last week, I think the lowest was 569. It didn't fall under 500, did it?
We're about to see here. So it averaged it from at the lowest, it did 495 total. At the highest, it did 618 total. At the lowest in the demo, let's if I could quickly, this is before August, so the denominator is 1290. Oh dear. The denominator is 12. Come on now. I'm doing live Excel right on the air here. The denominator is 1294. Why does that not make sense? I see. Divided by 1000, divided by 1294. So let's see here. If I drag this down and this will show up in a second because this is a really big spreadsheet, but we have the demo ratings for all the Friday Dynamites. 0.22, 0.19, 0.21, 0.23. So at the worst, it did a 0.19. At the best, it did a 0.23. This is a 0.15 Friday night. Again, if it's a few percent higher, it's still lower than any Friday Dynamite, than any Rampage up to this point. And by the way, when I say we're talking about Friday Dynamites here, we're talking about the first hour only. Okay, so the same time slot that Rampage is in. I'm not looking at the entire 2-hour Friday Dynamite. I'm looking at just the 10 to 11 hour. I should have mentioned that first, but that's sad. Point is, I think the takeaway you have here, this is an exceptionally low number for AEW from 10 to 11. Was it the baseball game? Was it not? Who knows? We don't know what the baseball games did. Don't have any data for that. We will on Monday. So we'll see just how big those audiences were.
But we do have a quarter hour breakdowns too, based on the Fast National data.
We do.
That you have here, where it, I mean, the opening segment was the highest, which was the split screen promo between Punk and Garcia and the opening of that match.
Exactly. Yeah. So I got the quarter hour data based on this Fast National data. Maybe I'll get the final data on the quarter hours as well. And again, maybe this will be a few percent higher, but this followed the normal pattern of, that the quarter hours usually follow, where the quarter one is the highest by a fair margin, and then it slightly declines as the hour goes on. So this followed that same pattern, opening at 521,000 viewers total, and opening at 227 in the demo. What's 227? If we think about that as a demo rating, that's a 0.17. So that's still lower than Dynamite has really ever done in this slot. Even if we take the high quarter, again, I think that the lowest hour one of a Friday Dynamite is 0.19. Right? Correct.
Yeah.
So again, the first quarter with Punk and Garcia is the high point, and then it slightly declines from there. So just opening at a weaker point. Same trend as usual, very similar trend, but just weaker opening point. Maybe people are already watching baseball. Maybe the lead-in wasn't good. Maybe people are just not that interested in watching AEW, but that's what happened. And maybe we'll have some more information to analyze this with later. Unfortunately, the show is daily. We only get originals, so we're not going to know what the movie at 9 did or 8. But yeah. So, why would WWE, take this approach and run? I'm sure it's just a coincidence, right? That they're running head to head with Dynamite next week. Curious to see if that happens, when FS1 is on, or when SmackDown is on Friday on, I believe it's the 29th. Is it the 29th? Is that correct? Yes, the 29th. So let's reflect on what WWE has said publicly about AEW, the extent to which they are competition. As we know, WWE is not a wrestling company. This podcast is, by the way, not a wrestling podcast. This is a media podcast. But this is comments that WWE CEO, chairman, Class B shareholder, head of creative, Vince McMahon made on July 29th, 2021. And...
Right, and then I guess one for Vince. AEW seems to be making some significant investments in their roster and has gained in viewership, especially in the demo. I was wondering how you currently view them as a competitor, and do you feel you need to counter their investment with additional investment in your own roster, since you could eventually be competing for media rights? Or could it be a situation like we saw back in the day where rising tides lift all boats?
Well, it's certainly not a situation where rising tide, because that was when Ted Turner was coming after us, and with all of the Time Warner's assets as well. That was a different situation. AEW is where they are. I don't really know what their plans are. All I know is what our plans are. I don't consider them a competition in the way that I would consider WCW back in the day. Not anywhere near close to that. I'm not so sure what their investments are as far as their talent is concerned, but perhaps we can give them some more.
Brandon, I can add one thing to that, if that's okay. This is Nick speaking.
Sure.
I think the way we always look at these situations, it's sort of like a horse race where the horse has blinders on. We're looking straight ahead at our lane and making sure that we stay in the front of the pack. At the same time, everything is our competition. So someone had a line a couple weeks ago that we all chuckled about and agreed with: sleep is our competition, right? If it was up to us, people could be up 24 hours a day watching content from different content providers, hopefully including ours. So we don't look at any organization particularly as competition, yet we see everything as competitive with what we're trying to do in terms of eyeballs.
So there's that. That's an interaction between stock analyst Brandon Ross, Vince McMahon, and then W President Chief Revenue Officer Nick Khan chiming in there too. Lou in the chat has a question before we go to the next slide here, asking how will it work for West Coast viewers this Friday, FS1 Live versus TNT, 3 hour delay. I've looked in my guide at least, and not only is SmackDown running to 10:30 Eastern, but what happens at 10:30 is an immediate replay of SmackDown at 10:30 on FS1. So I don't know if there's two feeds for FS1. I don't know what the deal is there, but FS1 will be playing SmackDown again at 10:30. So really there's going to be SmackDown going against. We won't get a rating for the replay in all likelihood, but in essence, SmackDown's going to be going against the entirety of Rampage because, you know, a replay, you could say, is going to be going against Rampage also. So there's that. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, very, very excited to see what comments we hear on the conference call on November 4th for the Q3 when that AEW is brought up.
Yeah.
Because things have changed quite a bit
since
that Q2.
I would speculate that WWE's strategy is to publicly downplay the extent to which AEW is competition or that they're concerned with it, which makes some sense, right? But you look at their actions and, it's something different. I think the fact that Dynamite edged out Raw in the demo in 2 weeks in September, one of those weeks was when Raw was going against Monday Night Football. The other week, Raw was going against, I think, a college football game. So yeah, different competition. I know different competition, but, I wonder if business partners and or investors are starting to ask more questions about AEW and WWE doesn't want there to be a story that somebody can say, hey, look, when SmackDown was on FS1, Rampage beat it. They're making sure that that's not going to happen. So there's that. I should also add, I think I would expect that these Fast National ratings continue to come out in the weeks to come throughout October. Not only for the programming on Friday, but maybe for the Saturday Dynamites too. Especially if the Fast National data can be read in such a way that it looks favorable for WWE and or unfavorable for AEW. I wanted to mention too, do you remember on the one Saturday Dynamite, when Dynamite was preempted for like four straight weeks, in late May to June, and there was a Saturday Dynamite. Do you remember what was on FS1 running head to head with Dynamite on that Saturday night at 8?
Was that like the WrestleMania recap type thing?
Oh, just a replay of SmackDown on FS1.
Oh, replay of SmackDown. Okay.
Now, it's not unusual for FS1 to air replays of SmackDown, but they're run at all sorts of random times. There's no consistency to when the replays are on of SmackDown on FS1. And there hadn't really been a history of a SmackDown replay happening at 8 o'clock Saturday night. It just so happened, coincidentally. Reflecting on that, I sort of just chalked it up to, let's not get into conspiracy theory thinking here, but now I'm not so sure whether that was just pure coincidence. But anyway, so yes. WWE, not a wrestling company, but yet we learned this from Fightful this week on Friday.
Yep. So this Friday, Fightful reported that MLW was on the verge of finalizing a distributed deal with Fox-owned streaming service Tubi in August. Now, WWE was reportedly unhappy about the deal, and the agreement wasn't finalized. So, in essence, WWE blocking a distribution deal for MLW to be on Tubi TV. I find this very interesting for many of angles, which I know you'll go into, Brandon. Kind of talked about, how all this streaming stuff for WWE is on Peacock and not a Fox-owned streaming service. And for WWE kind of go, hey, you can't do this. It's, I don't know how happy Fox, like, they probably obliged, but I don't know how happy they were to oblige.
Yeah, I don't know. This is probably a small content deal for them if they were looking at, you know, dealing with MLW. I wonder if MLW would have any legal recourse here, if there's any legal action they could take, if they could argue that WWE interfered with them unduly and damaged them, they would have received something of value by being on Tubi, if not a rights payment or an ad revenue, probably an ad revenue share, but if they would have received something, and maybe I don't know if you want to go head to head with Jerry McDivitt and WWE's legal resources. But if there's any lawyers or legal experts listening, I would love to hear your thoughts on whether what little we know about this situation, would it seem that MLW would have some sort of legal argument here? Have you ever watched anything on Tubi, Chris Gullo?
Yes.
You have?
You're going to laugh. It's the only place where you can find a free version of Santa with Muscles.
I feel like we've talked about this before.
Probably, yes. But Santa with Muscles, at least as of Christmas time last year, was on Tubi TV. And they have, I mean, now,
who's the star of Santa with Muscles?
starring Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Okay.
I'm not sure when Fox officially, like, acquired them. They've been around a little bit, and I'm not sure if they're always owned by Fox. But a lot of B movies, a lot of, you know, television programs that weren't like highly recourse, like not a must see streaming service. Like, I don't think there's any originals. I mean, it could be now, but as of like when I was really surfing on it last year, it was nothing of great value, in my opinion. Just my opinion.
Wikipedia tells us that Fox acquired it in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. WWE, again, not a wrestling company, not in the wrestling business, but according to the Fightful report, expressed some discomfort or unhappiness with the notion that their business partner Fox was going to do business with a relatively much smaller wrestling company in MLW. So Fox, who knows what the details are and I'm sure it's a complicated story, but Fox ended up not making a deal that seemed to be on the verge of being finalized. So there's that. More thoughts on other wrestling competitors here. Just to make sure WWE has, we get their thoughts and their say. This is a clip that we may have played before. In fact, I don't know if we ever did because this interview came out on the morning that we were recording so we kind of missed the news cycle. But this is just before SummerSlam. This interview was published August 22nd. This is a segment from the interview with Ariel Helwani for BT Sport with Nick Khan.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay, the theory that you're letting go of talent to build competition, like, they're all going to one place. Let's be honest. Let's call a spade a spade. They're going to one spot. And so it's one thing for the competition to kind of come up, and now you're going head-to-head. But it's another when the majority of the guys who are the faces of the competition were guys who are under contract with you. Is that not a weird thing to see develop in front of your eyes?
So just one clarification on the sleep is our competition. What I had said on the earnings call is, hey, someone had said that, and yeah, we were all talking about it. Ultimately, it was Reed Hastings, the co-CEO of Netflix, who said it. So I want to make sure he gets credit for the great line. Everything we look at, so I'll ask you a question back, and then, of course, I'll answer your question. You and I have known each other now for how long?
Since 2015.
I've known of your work for far longer than that. Maybe you knew a little bit of my work. Have you ever seen me talk about or think about any competitor of mine?
That's the honest truth.
Never. It's not what I do. It's not what we do at WWE. What I do and what we do, we look ahead. Where are we going? It's almost like, and this was from Jimmy Iovine in the Dr. Dre Iovine HBO doc a couple years ago. He said at the end, he's like, you got to look at these things like a horse in a race. They put a blinder. They put blinders on the horse. Why do they do that? So you're not looking back to see what the other horse is doing. The horse does that. They're going to trip and break their leg. I believe in my career, I've always operated that way. I know WWE has always operated that way. We look ahead. So our decisions are based on what's best for us. And whatever anyone else does with that, good for them.
And there you have it. Nick Khan saying that they're only focused on themselves. This is a line that we've heard Paul Levesque say as well. Like a horse with blinders, focused straight ahead. They're not looking this way, that way. They got blinders on and they're looking straight at their competition. I mean, they're looking straight at the finish line.
Except for sleep. I think they're looking at sleep. I think that's really hurt them in the demographics for Raw those two Mondays. I think people were just very tired, and sleep got one up on them.
And in fairness to them, you could say that, well, why is the third hour of Raw often the least viewed of the 3 hours? Because people are going to sleep. There's something to that. But Nick Khan saying he doesn't even think about competition. You know, sort of inquiring with Ariel Helwani. He doesn't even think about it. There's clearly something else happening here. What else could be bothering WWE about AEW this week? Well, tell us what's happening with UBS Arena.
Yeah, so at the UBS Arena in Elmont, New York, tickets distributed to our good friends at Russell Tix. Right now, AEW has 7,481 tickets distributed for their December 8th Dynamite, where Raw only has 2,716 tickets distributed for their November 29th Raw.
Mm-hmm. So this is more than doubling what Raw has done. Maybe Raw will come in and get a lot of ticket sales in the end. I suspect they will. Maybe this margin will get closed a bit, but it certainly looks like at this point that AEW Dynamite is going to outsell Raw, which is a pretty like-to-like comparison here. This is not a case of WWE running a house show against a TV taping or running a TV taping against a pay-per-view. This is a Raw and a Dynamite. This is, you know, the one of the main weekly programs for WWE against the A weekly program for Dynamite. So same market, not only that, same venue. Not only that, same season within, you know, less than 2 weeks of each other. So at least on this occasion, it's quite different. Absolutely, yes. WWE is, by virtue of running more shows, by virtue of perhaps having higher ticket prices, is generating far more revenue on live events than AEW does. So let's keep that in mind. And WWE has certainly outdrawn AEW in other markets, including Houston comes to mind as one. We saw what happened in New York City, WWE running Madison Square Garden for a SmackDown, not far from the time when AEW ran Arthur Ashe Stadium, and Arthur Ashe Stadium was a higher attendance. Madison Square Garden was probably a significantly higher gate just because the ticket prices, and they were able to sell higher ticket prices. So there's that. But this may be, you know, prompting some questions with some business partners, maybe some investors about what's happening with this AEW and why is this competitor coming up here and building a fan base and having some success. So there's that.
And I think what added fuel to the fire was an article we got from Variety.com this past week with the headline, Vince McMahon is finally getting what he hasn't seen in 20 years, competition.
Yes, this is from our friend Gavin Bridge at Variety. You disappeared for a moment, but you're back.
You disappeared too.
Okay. But yeah, this maybe Vince throwing a fit in his office when this article came out earlier this week. just reviewing some data that we're aware of, including the TV ratings. This is a different metric. The number of U.S. households that are watching Raw and Dynamite, just showing that from early August to early October, that the gap is narrowing between Raw and Dynamite. And then this is the P18-49 demo rating, which is here described, referred to as the cable TV rating per wrestling shows, did in the P18-49 TV audience share, which is just another way to say P18-49 rating. If the y-axis is any indication here, showing trends that listeners may be familiar with Dynamite edging out Raw just barely on two occasions, early September, and the margin being pretty close in other weeks, but in the most recent week, Raw well ahead, and Rampage well ahead of NXT. And then we've got some information from a firm called Diesel Labs. Not sure how big the sample is here, or maybe this is just an analysis of all social media activity that's out there, but showing that W fans are talking more about AEW and AEW fans are talking less about WWE. That, that affirms the intuition that I have about the trajectory of these two companies. WWE well ahead, but ceding more of the mind share and the activity and engagement to AEW. And then, finally, this is with a pretty small sample, with an N of 139. But this is a survey from the Maru Group for the Variety VIP platform, surveying this sample of fans on who does what better, AEW or WWE. WWE does better storytelling. AEW has better matches on TV. WWE has slightly better matches on pay-per-view. WWE has better... most entertaining characters. AEW has slightly better audience reactions in the arena. Maybe that's partly due to WWE's crowd sweetening. But anyway, and WWE is far more suitable for kids. That sounds right. And overall, the most exciting, AEW just ahead of WWE.
All right.
So Variety, probably one of these publications. I mean, you can write bad things about WWE all day on the dirt sheets. But Variety is one of these publications that WWE actually cares about, and you know, they love their mainstream media. And but Gavin Bridge has been writing some analysis that has not looked on WWE so favorably in the last couple of years.
Adding fuel to the fire that there is a war going on. So for those people who believe it is a war. All right, so yeah, we're moving on to the Gullo report. What are all the ratings? We already got into the SmackDown rating. Just the final rating from October 1st was 2.25 in the P2 Plus with a 0.62 in the 18 to 49. So, pretty good rating for them right there, especially in the 18 to 49 from last week on October 1st. And we already discussed the Rampage rating, but if you compare that to the week before, 622,000. With a 0.25 and the 18 to 49. So that looks like a significant drop this week. All right. And now we'll get into Monday Night Raw. And 1.86 million in the P2 Plus from the October 4th edition with 0.52 and the 18 to 49. That is up from September 27th edition with 1.71 million in the P2 Plus and a 0.48 in the 18 to 49. It's an interesting increase.
Draft episode.
Not sure if there was... Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And stop me if you want to add anything here, Brandon.
Just keep going. We can go through these pretty fast, I think.
NXT, Tuesday, October 5th, 632,000.13, slightly down from the week before, 660,000.14. So maybe this is where they live, at least a while. Go ahead.
The numbers for NXT are not encouraging. I think they were going against the baseball game. I think we're going to have baseball playoffs just about every night for the month here. The median age, I believe we talked about this on the Thursday, live TV ratings talk. Just the median age was 62, which is the oldest I would guess that it's ever been. And I know that, others have reported, and I've heard it too, that this is supposed to be something that's going to attract younger viewers. This new vision of the more colorful, NXT. But it seems to be doing the opposite. Additionally, this notion that this NXT is turning off women, I don't know. The female viewership, the women 18 to 49 had been on the decline before this. If anything, it's stabilized since the 2.0 rebrand. But the big change is it's just the audience is getting older. And I think there's just, as I argued on Thursday, there's just less and less urgency to watch this because it's less and less significant or newsworthy, and the people who check in or out are the younger viewers. The people who stay are P50 plus. So it's not a case of NXT attracting an older fan, but just increasingly not attracting the attention of younger fans.
All right, moving on to Wednesday, October 6th for the AEW Dynamite, 1.05 million with 0.37 in the 18 to 49. That is down from the September 29th edition, which finished at 1.15 million with 0.45. So a little bit of a drop here for AEW, but still over a million, which I think is pretty impressive if they can continue that trend. Roads to the Top, which had the lead in from AEW Dynamite, did 369,000 with 0.16 in 18 to 49. That is down a little bit from their debut episode, which did 422,000 and 0.17. Impact from Thursday, October 7th, 111,000 with 0.02 in the 18 to 49. And that is a little bit down from 115,000 and 0.03 on September 30th. Dark Side of the Ring, the episode on Bruiser Bedlam, also known as Johnny Canine, that did 137,000 in the P2 Plus with a 0.05 in the 18 to 49, and that is down from the FMW episode with 126,000 P2 Plus, but better demo rating as 0.04 on the September 30th edition.
Dark Side has really weakened this season. This was the second lowest viewed, the second least viewed Dark Side of the Ring episode, in both total viewership and in 18 to 49. I think last week was the least viewed in total viewership, and this is the second least viewed in the demo next to the very first episode of Dark Side of the Ring in, I think, 2019, which is the Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth episode. Well, the internet died. That was, what time was that? 9:30, 10 o'clock or something?
It was like at 10:30 in the morning, yeah.
Yes. My internet died. I realized that I probably have to figure out a way to hardwire the WrestleNomics supercomputer in the future to prevent issues like this again, which will mean running like a 50-foot Ethernet cable from the living room to the office, or excuse me, from one part of WrestleNomics headquarters to the other. But anyway, it is now, it's still Sunday, October 10th, 2021. My eyelids are half open. The Bills are about to start to play a game, and Chris Scullo has agreed to join us to finish this podcast. I thought that the Bills are going to start at 8 in like 2 minutes from now.
8:25. It's 25. Football, okay. So
we do have some time then. Good. I'm glad we're not violating your religion or anything here. That's good. All right. What were we talking about? Do you remember? Let's talk for a moment about, we just read an ESW show. I just wrestled. That's why I'm a shell of myself.
Yeah, it was a really fun show. But I do want to wish speedy recovery to TJ Crawford. He hurt his knee real bad. We had to stop the match, yeah. So.
Oh, wow. That's terrible.
Yeah, so.
Who did you wrestle?
Alec Price.
Okay. How was the show, otherwise?
Show was very good. Main event delivered all everything it was supposed to. The main event was Garcia Richards, Daniel Garcia, David Richards. Yes. I think I have a new favorite tag team in the main event. Duke Davis and Gannon Jones Jr., those guys really impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great show. You had a good match with Spencer Slade, an up and comer.
How was my match?
I actually really liked it.
Really?
I think people realize, like, okay, the chain wrestling is good. Cause I think people were like, oh, chain wrestling. And they're like, oh, okay, it's chain wrestling, like, you know, in the amateur style. And I think it came off really good.
People were captivated by my chain wrestling, is what you're saying here. Is that my takeaway?
That's exactly what I'm saying. But yeah, it was a great show. Crowd really hates Kevin Bennett. He's doing good at being a heel. Ace Romero and Bill Collier was a, you know, knockdown drag out fight. That was awesome. MSP against Divinity and Beyond was great as expected. Vince Valor and Mike Skyros did a Buffalo Tables match, which is a plastic table instead of a wooden one.
Yes. Not a flaming table, though. I was disappointed. Anyway, this is all on IWTV. You're not... Well, it doesn't matter. I'm doing video, but I've not put you in the video. But anyway, I managed to forget my jacket, and you recovered it for me.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm the worst. You have also recovered my jacket for me in the past. This is not the first time that this has happened.
this jacket has lived in my little room here for a while. Yeah. It's going to live again until we see each other in person.
Good thing you're recording locally, because I'm not recording you right now.
That is good.
This is why we have a big production checklist.
I think last we left off, we were kind of wrapping up the Gullah report. I know we were talking about MLW Fightland as far as you were comparing it in regards to Impact with the 18 to 49.
Yes. One thing I want to point out is that the number of homes that each of these networks that are carrying these programs are in. Okay. So this corrects what I've been, I think, tweeting and writing in the Patreon reports. TNT. Okay. This is not something I've said that is wrong. What I've said is that Vice is in, I said 60 to 70 million homes. Vice as of August is in 55 million homes. Okay. Access. What I've been saying about Access is accurate. Access is in about half of the cable homes, about 40 million, I've been saying. They're in 39 million homes. For reference related to our conversation about SmackDown versus Rampage, FS1 is in 73 million homes. Compare that to TNT, 78 million, USA Network, 77 million, which is about as high as the coverage gets for cable TV these days. So, in other words, when we talk about what happened on Thursday night on wrestling on television, Access is at a disadvantage. They're in about half of the cable homes, right? USA Network and TNT are almost 80, right? Access in about half of the cable homes. So that certainly affects their viewership to some degree. Vice's got more coverage. And we see Dark Side of the Ring do better than Impact, I think every time out here so far.
Yeah.
So, anyway, where are we on the Gullah report right now?
We're finishing up with the MLW Fightland before it all got crazy. I did mention, and I'm not sure if this made it, I mentioned the two other ratings that just aren't on the Gullah report. That King of the Ring countdown.
Thank you.
That was aired on Sundays, and the way, from my knowledge, is it was like if you had the 1 o'clock game on Fox, it aired after that, and if you had the 4 o'clock game on Fox, that they had aired before. So it aired in many markets, and it was watched by 1.69 million viewers with the 18 to 49 at 0.43. So pretty impressive for a show that just kind of airs on after the football game because they don't have doubleheaders that week.
If you're a WWE bot on Twitter that likes to launch an army at me whenever there's good news about AEW Dynamite numbers or bad news for that matter, that 1.6 million viewers, that's bigger than any Dynamite, any AEW show ever.
I mean, that's good if they're going against football. I mean, they are. There's football on CBS, doubleheaders. So
also had a lead-in from football in a lot of these cases, but whatever.
And then heels. Well,
most people, by the way, didn't even know. I didn't even know that was
no gross, idea. No idea special. Was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, no.
And I was at a football game, so I had no idea that Fox was airing that afterwards. Yeah.
So it's not like this was someone's appointment TV. It's clearly leading.
But then the narrative will be, imagine if they advertised to Brandon.
great point. Great point.
Yeah. Heels. It's their second last episode. They were watched by 73,000 viewers with a 18 to 49 at 0.02. I mentioned to you kind of off air about this. We have not gotten renewal news as far as a second season yet. Mm-hmm. The finale is tonight, which I'll probably watch sometime midweek.
Yeah.
And we'll see. They got the big steel cage match in the steel cage ladder match. I don't know. It's a ladder match, I think, in the state fair.
Is that the big blow-off for the season?
Yeah. My favorite comment I saw on Twitter, and I really wish I could quote the person, and I'm sorry, but somebody wrote, wow, these promotions complaining about drawing houses and just getting by, and I see they have their own arenas, and they're packed with, hundreds of people. Like what are they doing? That their business is hurting.
Heels, well, the question that people ask me often, which is a good question, is how does this compare? How is the linear viewership anyway, which is all the data that we've got? We don't have any streaming data. None of that is really, I think, known beyond the internal streaming networks. But anyway, in terms of the linear TV viewership, and I do have some DVR viewership. I haven't had that updated for the most recent week or so, but at least when you look at the first run viewership, compared to other programs that Starz has aired, Sunday night seems to be their slot for putting their scripted programs, their new one, their series, right? And it's not doing well relative to those. I did a Patreon post about this. I don't have it in front of me, but you know, TV viewership obviously tends to decline over time, but this was just a year going back, not that far. So it doesn't look like at least the first run viewership is great for this. So maybe it won't be renewed.
Our only comparison has not even aired yet. I don't even know if it has been produced yet, but, I don't know if you remember last year, around April, 2020. So it was a little bit after the pandemic started, but that HBO announced that, they were doing a scripted pro wrestling, TV series where The Rock was going to be involved. And, they were going to call it Trey CNT. And it was going to be about like a struggling, independent wrestler. I don't think we've heard anything new since then, but that would probably be the best comparison once that happens. Other than that, and I mean, the thing with Glow is it's Netflix, so it's a completely different realm. And I can't think of really any other scripted wrestling series in the last decade or so that we would have like actual good data on. I mean, there was that show Nikki in the early 2000s.
What's that?
Nikki was a show, and I really wish I could remember her last name. She was like an actress, and her husband was a wrestler. So there's many like cameos from Kevin Nash and others and stuff.
Isn't there an Adam Sandler movie called Nikki or something like that?
Little Nikki, but it's completely
one of the all-time bad movies, right?
Completely different thing. This was like a show, I think, on like the WB. It aired from 2000 to 2002.
Wow.
Nikki, yeah, starring Nikki Cox. Yeah, she was a I think she was like a comedian and he was a wrestler or something like that. I don't remember.
What was Nikki Cox originally known for?
She was in, do you remember the kind of the Mary What Children knockoff where the guy would go to his basement and hang out with like the stuffed animal that was stuffed bunny that was aired by that was voiced familiar. By Bobcat Goldthwait? Unhappily Ever After.
Yes, that's what I'm probably thinking of. Wow.
WrestleNomics, where we talk about Nikki Cox.
I think you should do on the Patreon a review series where you go through and review wrestling-related scripted series.
I'm totally for that. If our subscribers would be interested in it, I would 100% do that. That's my role, man.
Okay, well, write us and tell us if you would enjoy that content.
All right, other than that, I know you were kind of, had some stuff in here about cable originals as far as, you know, where all those programming rank.
I think this might correct something that I said on Twitter as well. Somebody was asking me during the live stream on Thursday how AEW's ratings compare to other programs that are on TNT. So what I have here in front of us, which no one can see, but what I have here is, the listing of within the last 7 days that we have data for, which is Friday, October 1st to Thursday, October 7th. This is for all of the 150 daily cable originals that Showbiz Daily puts out there. So these are the programs that have appeared in that list. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. There's 7 of them for TNT. These programs are the following in order of their P18-49 rating. This is the most recent Dynamite. AEW Dynamite is number one. I know it's not NBA season, it's not even NHL season, but AEW is number one, Dynamite. Number two, AEW Rampage. Number three, half hour one of Roads to the Top. Number four is not the other half hour of Roads to the Top, but it's the NBA preseason exhibition game that happened on Tuesday night. There's a preseason NBA game. News to me. But then the second hour of Roads to the Top, an episode on Sunday of Animal Kingdom, which I think is one of their scripted series.
Yeah, and then, scripted drama.
And then finally, this Animal Kingdom did a 0.11 NBA Game Time live at 9:44, which must have been after the NBA preseason game, did a 0.11. The preseason game itself did a 0.14 in the demo. So there's that. USA, real quick, just to run through. Somebody, I think, was actually asking me about USA, but I think I posted USA because I didn't want to just post something about AEW, because Lord knows, if I just post something about AEW, people think it's a defense of AEW. But anyway, so here's USA Network. Number one, Raw. Number two, Chrisley Knows Best on Thursday night. Number three, NXT. Number four, Premier League. Southampton and someone else who's cut off in the table I'm looking at. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Sunday, Joel Osteen. Is that how you say his name?
Yep, Joel Osteen, yeah.
That airs on USA Network, huh? In Touch Ministries after that, which was the program immediately before Joel Osteen. Training PT with Dr. D. Jeremiah. Look at this Sunday lineup. And then before that, a paid program.
So they're just killing it on Sunday mornings.
That is a whole block of programming. From 7 a.m. to 8:30, and so really to 9, because that's a 30-minute program. That Sunday morning block, man. What did it do? Each one of those programs did a 0.03 in the demo, by the way.
It was the same people. They started with the paid programming. They liked the Ron Popeil, rotisserie chicken.
He died, didn't he? Ron Popeil.
Oh, he did. I'm sorry.
I think he died very, still selling very stuff, recently. We have Fox too. It's not Fox. Yeah. Fox has got a lot of programs that do large viewership. It's a broadcast network. But this is primetime only, so this doesn't include the NFL windows. But this is from Spoiler TV and Showbuzz, because I've been messing with Python. I told you this was going to be a 10-minute recording. I lied. Apparently, this is going much longer. We'll be done before the Bills kick off. I've been messing around with Python to unify these data sets. I know Showbuzz has broadcast data too, but it's a little harder for me to run through OCR. No one understands what I'm talking about. Anyway, number one on Fox for the week, for those 7 days. NFL football at 9. This was, we got this in two slots here because the Thursday night football game was broadcast on the NFL Network and on Fox. After the game, whatever the NFL game was, I don't know. Did a really big rating almost. Did more viewers actually than Monday Night Football did this week. After that, Masked Singer. After that, 9-1-1 with a 0.85 demo rating. And then number four, fourth in the demo for Fox in a week that included NFL football. WWE Friday Night SmackDown.
Thursday Night Football was a big game too.
Yeah, not this most recent Friday, because we don't know what the final is for that. Only the Fast Nationals is everything that we have finals for. So this was two Fridays ago, SmackDown, to give you in it. This is just an example. This is not, it's not representative of the whole year or something like that, but it's just a taste. Followed by that is The Simpsons, The Resident, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, Alter Ego, The Simpsons, The Great North, Our Kind of People, Baseball Game, and The Big Leap. So there you have it. That's been to give you an idea of where does wrestling fall in the grand scheme of TV. Pretty good. Doing pretty well. We have November 4th. We have something to do.
Yeah. It's third quarter time. We'll have the conference call and then all the fun stuff that we get to do at WrestleNomics after, where we break down the quotes and stuff that's released, and I'm sure they're going to be talking about fresh off their large scale international event.
Very true. That will be
in the quarter.
Very good. Yes.
But as we saw at the last conference call, they did talk about a lot of stuff that was in Q3. They were happy about SummerSlam coming up and the live crowds, and there was a lot of Q3 foreshadowing.
There's definitely an outlook. Yeah. But it's $50 million. There's not really any question about what it's worth. But yes, November 4th, Thursday. I've got to figure out what I'm going to do, because I've started in the last couple months to do these live Thursday, TV ratings talks at 5:30 PM Eastern. That would be if I did that, that would be in the middle of this conference call. So I'm going to have to like push it back later and do it all in one, and,
I'll probably be able to join you.
Maybe Gullo will join me. Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on what's going to happen there. I will do an estimate of what I think the financial results are going to be. We should note Mike Hickey of Hammerlock of Mike Hickey is the analyst who was famous for some 6-7 years ago. Vince McMahon promised him that if they didn't triple their TV rights fees at the time, which were in the middle of being renegotiated, that Vince McMahon promised Mike Hickey over the phone on a public conference call that he, Mike Hickey, could put him, Vince McMahon, in a hammerlock. Mike Hickey has relayed to me in a LinkedIn comment on one occasion that he has not yet redeemed his promise of putting Vince McMahon in a hammerlock. In any event, Mike Hickey had from Benchmark, he's with a financial firm called Benchmark. They put out a report on WWE, upgrading their financial expectations. So they're on the high end of, they're predicting financial results that are better than what the consensus is. The stock market reacted to that by, the shares for WWE went up 1.7% on Friday closing, $58.82, which is the highest that WWE shares have been since late June.
Yeah.
Chris Gullo, not a WWE investor.
Not currently.
Do you have any plans to initiate any such positions?
Not right now, but I guess I need to get into this Shiba Inu coin. That's now a thing. It's like they took the dog that's part of Dogecoin and made their own coin, Shiba Inu coin.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it's getting high. It's like keep going up.
So that's all the real content I think I had to jam in here. I did want to talk about the WrestleNomics supercomputer. And what we have now additionally, in addition to that, we now have a WrestleNomics super laptop. We might have to fine tune the branding here. WrestleNomics super laptop is something that literally just sprung out of my head at 3 seconds ago. But I now have an upgraded laptop. I now have a much more powerful, I didn't have any desktop computer before this. This is where, your subscriber fees, your patron fees are going into upgraded hardware, into a lot of things that we do to enhance our content, enhance our reports and our analysis here, and things of that nature. I've got, incredible RAM. I've got perhaps a weak Wi-Fi card, but in any event, we'll figure it out. Yes. Disclosures. You're not a WWE stock investor.
No.
I am not. I have never been a WWE stock holder. I have no plans to initiate any such positions. Any other disclosures we need to make? I along with others, train Daniel Garcia, who is now an AEW wrestler. Chris Harrington created this brand and podcast. He now works for AEW. Yeah. Anything else to just do you own stock in any of the companies that we have discussed today?
No, not currently. I am not. I own Dogecoin right now. That's it.
That's all you own is Dogecoin.
Yes. And my wife and I own, well, my wife owns Tesla stock. So
Tesla. Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I owned Tesla at one point and then I sold it before it climbed and like quadrupled. So shame on me. I own Google, which is the parent company of YouTube. Well, it's actually Alphabet, but anyway, I own Google, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, Netflix, Roblox. I own Roblox, Airbnb, Spotify, Snapchat.
Nice. So everything that's an app on a phone.
Yeah. I don't think I own Disney at the moment. I just bought a relatively small amount of shares in AMD. Do you know what AMD is?
No.
It's a microprocessor maker, on the come up, really challenging Intel. We are the WrestleNomics supercomputer and the WrestleNomics super laptop operating with AMD microprocessors, and they are kick ass. They are kick ass microprocessors. Yes.
Disclosures. Yeah, I mean, I don't work for any major company. I've worked with talent that now work for major companies throughout the various years, but
yes,
I'm an independent wrestling and MMA and kickboxing ring announcer.
I'm an independent wrestler, kind of a washed up one at this point, I think.
You are not giving yourself enough credit.
Has the scuttlebutt traveled about what I discussed with our promoter today?
He told me, like, privately, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm probably going to take a break from wrestling, I think, at least until I'm more able to perform at a level that I will be satisfied at. So yes. That's all. I really want to thank Phil Chertok from the Post Wrestling Family for advising me with all of his tech knowledge, through our establishing these computers for me. I really needed an upgrade on the laptop too, and he gave me some advice on that also. If Chris Gullin needs any upgrades, we'll talk about that offline. Thanks as always. I don't say that. I always forget to say this, that thanks to Jason Ompresser for writing our articles on WrestleNomics.com.
Yeah, he's great.
And this is the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network is our distribution partner. As I sat in the upper deck and watched Daniel Garcia versus Davey Richards, I was in the WrestleNomics, not the WrestleNomics, and I was in the Voices of Wrestling Slack. Joe Lanza was tuning in via IWTV. Joe Lanza, if you don't know, somehow you're listening to this podcast and you don't know, he's the co-host of the Voices of Wrestling flagship podcast. He asked me, is that Gullo? And I said, yes, I confirmed that to him. But anyway.
What do you think? Because he was very MMA.
I don't know. He just wanted to know whether that was you. He did not elaborate. But yes. And that's all. Plugs.
Chris Gullo at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The rest of October is pretty quiet. You know, got my 4-year wedding anniversary coming up. Going to do something with the wife. Keep it pretty chill. But there will be a new episode of Rediscover the Indies later this month. It will be part 3 and most likely the final part of the NWA title and all the business of the NWA from 2007 to 2017. So basically, TNA ends the partnership until the purchase of Billy Corgan. And we've already had 2 parts. Have been great. Look for us to be very active on social media the week of the XPW Dark Side episode, as we'll be sharing a lot of our previous episodes on that.
Excellent.
Their street team was at ESW today and did not say hi to me.
Whose street team? The XPW street team?
Yeah, they were wearing the XPW shirts, and I know they're the street team because they were handing out flyers in Rochester when I attended AEW.
Do they have a show coming up that they were promoting?
Yes! You did not know this? You're not aware of this?
No.
XPW is back November 7th in Rochester at the Armory.
You might have told me about this, but I just...
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
There's been a lot of cancellations due to Rob Black's previous behavior that people have dug up on Twitter, so...
Oh, wrestler cancellations.
Yes.
I see. Yeah, that's not surprising. Thanks to you, by the way, to Lavi Margolin, for helping me with... he gave me a lot of help with the MLW coverage this week. So you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We streamed part of this live today. Experimental. The live stream, video live stream of this podcast is probably something I'm going to make a part of Patreon at some point. But at this point, these are just experiments. What's not an experiment and what you can tune into for free indefinitely is the live TV ratings talk. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, I talk and look at charts with you at the latest wrestling TV ratings at perhaps... The most interesting time for wrestling TV ratings, at least since 2001. I don't think anybody would dispute that. You can sign up for Patreon and get access to my written reports on TV ratings that come out almost every weekday, often every weekday, depending on what's out there. You also get access to the WrestleNomics viewership spreadsheet. This is the way to get the most in-depth analysis of wrestling TV ratings that there is out there. And WrestleNomics and wrestling business matter because we have no real scoreboard. We are the scoreboard. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to. And yeah, I'm going to show off the replies sometimes at Brandon Thurston at WrestleNomics. I'm Brandon Thurston.
I'm Chris Gullo.
And we're going to watch the Bills game now. Bye.